Concordia University Chicago is the distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
Basically, the trick is this. It's that if we can't explain something divine, it's not real. And if we can explain it, therefore it's not divine.
But the problem for us is the Mormon Church denies or distorts a lot of these basic teachings that have always made Christians what they are.
The sole infallible norm of all things is Scripture itself. Why? Because Scripture itself is the voice of God, whereas tradition doesn't occupy that exact same kind of role within the church.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd even want to get out of bed if I didn't know that God brings good out of bad circumstances. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Friday, September 7th, for the next couple of hours. And even though the show is called Issues Etc., I got to tell you, today we have a thread. It may be a kind of a thin thread, but we have a thread nonetheless that runs through all of what we're going to be talking about. First up will be Pastor Tom Baker, and we're going to be dealing with him with a Sunday school lesson, the beginning of the Joseph story in Genesis chapter 37. And of course, the Joseph story is all about God bringing good things out of bad and evil circumstances, about people meaning it for evil, but God meaning it for good. Then we're going to turn at the bottom of the hour to Dr. Joseph Goodell from Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're going to be dealing with two topics with him. First of all, the persecution of Christians, and our flesh looks around and asks when we see Christians being persecuted, well, what good can possibly come from this? And then we'll hang on with Dr. Goodell. In about an hour, we'll talk with him about a subject on which he is quite an expert, Islam, which has been a force over the years in persecution of Christians. And so, again, we look at it, we ask, well, why now? Why us? And what good can possibly come out of this? And then, finally, we'll cap everything off with Dr. George Frey, who has got an interesting set of reflections on the end of World War I. We're coming up on the centennial of the end of that great war. He's going to talk about the legacy of World War I and what good might possibly have come out of that. So if you have a question or a comment for us for the next couple of hours, send us an email. talkback@issuesetc.org is the email address. Again, talkback@issuesetc.org. We have the opportunity once again this week to hear a Bible story from Pastor Tom Baker, a Sunday school lesson, in this case on Joseph and his brothers. Tom Baker is the host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and certainly no stranger to this microphone. So I think, Tom, you're on here more often than I. I'll let you welcome me to Issues, Etc.
Well, it's just wonderful to hear you, Jim. I appreciate that you're on.
Thank you very much. All right. I think I know where I stand here this afternoon.
No, Ken Sherb, you and I are good friends. We've known each other for a while. I've respected you, and I've often asked you for advice in certain areas, and it's always been very good. So I'm glad you're taking over for Todd this week as we do the Sunday school lesson, Joseph and his brothers.
So sometimes the question is put, Tom, why do bad things happen to good people? What does the Joseph story say about that?
You can actually go to the end of the Joseph story when finally Joseph's father and the father of the brothers die, and they get really worried that now Joseph is going to get even with them for what they had done to him. And he says, "You meant it for evil, but God worked it out for good." he's actually, without realizing it, quoting another part of Scripture, and he doesn't realize it because it isn't written yet. It's written by the Apostle Paul, where he says, all things work together for our good. In fact, on my own program, I was recently responding to a question as to what is a blessing. One person thought a blessing is when something good happens to you. Another said a blessing is when God keeps his promise. And I made the point that I can't think of anything in my life that has occurred that was not a blessing. And I'm not just talking about three wonderful children we have had, but I'm talking about maybe getting stopped for a speeding ticket, one of my sons dying in a motorcycle accident, my father and mother dying, and many in the congregation whose funerals I did. Why were these blessings? Because in my view, a blessing means that God keeps his promises to his children. And I can't think of one time in my life where God didn't keep his promise. So that appears to be somewhat the notion that Joseph had, especially in light of his dreams, that God's going to be keeping his promises. And we don't see any vindication on the part of Joseph in getting even with his brothers for the evil that had occurred. So I'm not saying that in every situation we can figure out, why did God allow this evil, this suffering, this disaster to come to us? I'll tell you, when somebody asks me that question, I look at them and say, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. If you had been one of the disciples and knew that Jesus was being crucified, would you not have hid in the upper room also? Or would you have gone to the crucifixion and began applause? Because finally, all the promises of the Old Testament are being fulfilled. I'll tell you what you would have done. You would have been just like the disciples. Why is God doing this? What good can come from this? And the good actually came from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And I believe that that was an attitude that Joseph had, so that when their father died, Joseph felt no inclination to get even with them.
Well, the cross, even at its most simple surface level, is a kind of a legal lynching of a man, a terrible evil. In the Joseph story, we've got an instance of terrible evil also, and it's never a bad idea just to look at the facts of the Bible story. What are Joseph's brothers up to in Genesis 37?
What they're up to is, first of all, the father seems to love Joseph more than the other brothers. The reason for that, and there are a number of options, first of all, Joseph came from his favorite wife, and she had died. Also, it reminded him of the beginnings of his favoritism between the rest of the family when he returned. So there's no doubt that he also had done a robe of many colors. Now, the Hebrew isn't very clear as to what that robe of many colors could have been. It was a special adornment. Maybe it was Jacob's way of saying, here is my son who will become a leader among us. But of course, the other brothers were not very happy with this, especially when Joseph shared with them two dreams. The first dream was, they were binding sheaves in the field. His sheaf arose, stood upright, and your sheaves, talking to his brothers, gathered around it and bowed down. And the brothers said, are you indeed to reign over us, to rule over us? And then here's what verse 8 says of chapter 37. So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. But if that were not enough, he had a second dream, where the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told it to his father and to his brothers, even his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother," namely the sun and the moon, "and your brothers," the 11 stars, "indeed come to bow yourselves to the ground before you?" And the brothers were jealous because of him. And so that can often occur in a family. Probably the worst thing you can say to a child, and I see this in movies every now and then, "I wish that you had never been born." A child's not going to forget that. And so this was, in a sense, that the father was saying to the rest of the brothers, "I wish you would have been like Joseph, or are like Joseph." And you can understand that if a bad relationship occurs among brothers and sisters today, particularly if they think there's some favoritism, you can understand, because of original sin, and all of us are sinful people, that this was occurring. By the way, the CPH material begins with a really good point where it talks about that any human being can commit the most heinous of crimes. I've always believed that who knows, had I been born in Germany and thought Hitler was a great guy, maybe I would have become an SS in putting people to death, thinking it was okay and legal and all this sort of thing. And that's why it never surprises me when I hear horrible things occurring among the congregational members, because all of us, we confess this, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, even after we are a Christian, because of the murders we commit. And the murder isn't just an action, it's a thought and a word. So that's why, a little summary there, of why his brothers hated him.
Now, there is a small little detail that we're going to pick up after the break here, Tom, in the Joseph story, and it's going to make a little bit of difference to how you take it, and that is just how innocent is Joseph. We'll talk about that a little bit with Pastor Tom Baker and other things regarding Joseph in Genesis 37. Here, teaching a Bible story with Pastor Tom Baker, I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin on Issues Etc.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Let's examine the response of our Christian community to the cultural turmoil regarding sexuality and children.
Licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke, talking about her presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In 50 years, we've spiked to what is now a cultural crisis from what was a nearly non-existent issue. We can wring our hands, remain unacquainted with the facts, or simply remain silent and avoid the unpleasantries. Biblical sexuality and God's created order aren't polling well these days, while media talking heads gush about the joys and justice of violating natural law.
You can meet and hear Dr. Beverly Yonke making the case for a Christian response to the transgender child at Issues Etc.'s Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia Seminary St. Louis is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During September, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260 452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
In a flash, the brothers changed their plan.
We ain't got the talent and we can.
Well, what did you expect we were going to play? Talking about Genesis 37 with Pastor Tom Baker from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And we're talking about that, well, garment of honor anyway, whatever it was, that Jacob gave to Joseph. And going into the break, Tom, I said we would just touch on this a little bit. It's not a big question for the interpretation of this Bible story and the proper understanding of it, but people do wonder a little bit, is Joseph truly the kind of innocent person that he's often taken to be, or is he a little bit of a bratty braggart? And what difference does it make?
The way I would respond to that is, Joseph is a human being since the fall of man into sin, and therefore he's definitely a sinner. But I often think about another person where it's not really obviously where he is sinning is Daniel. Try and find a sin of Daniel in the book of Daniel. Now, we know he was a sinner, but he was very true to his vocation. And if I take a look at Joseph, I remember when I was first reading about this years ago, I saw some sin in Joseph. For example, once his father tells him, you know, you shouldn't be saying these dreams, and of course that splendid robe really made a difference. Isn't it interesting that when he finally goes out to visit his brothers and they see him, verse 23 says, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. Now, I'm thinking, it's one thing to be thankful for the father for a robe, but it's another thing to keep wearing it knowing it's making other people a little angry. So maybe it's not an obvious sin he does on purpose, but we might call it one of those silent sins or those sins that he's kind of unaware of. If I know somebody is jealous of me because of something, I'm not going to flaunt in front of them that which makes them jealous. But there is another reason why it appears that Joseph does not seem to be too sinless, and that's the main reason why we have Sunday school. Where is Jesus? The Concordia material makes a wonderful point that in all of these stories, God provides a sort of savior to the people. And Joseph is, in a sense, kind of a savior. In fact, there are some real similarities between Joseph and Jesus. Both of them are put into captivity. Both of them are sold for money. Remember Judas? And then they got money from the Ishmaelites. Jesus goes so far as to actually die, which, of course, the brothers wanted to do to Joseph. So, in a sense, we're having a kind of a little picture of Jesus in the person of Joseph. So I can understand that his obvious sins were not really dealt with that obviously here, because by the end of the time, he's brought his whole family back into the promised land of Egypt, fed them, etc., and he is not taking vengeance upon them. So you have in Joseph, I would say, a foreground picture of the Messiah who would come to rescue his people. So that could be part of the reason why his obvious sins aren't mentioned that often.
And Joseph, of course, is also hated by his brothers. Somebody did a count. I did not. But they came up with a total of 21 mentions of the word brothers here in Genesis 37. Now, that's got to be a touch of irony, right?
Exactly. If you're making the point that Jesus was hated by many of his people at his time, to the point they even hated him when he fed 5,000 people, because they expected he'd be a temporal king, and so they went running after him. He had to escape from them. There are numerous times where Jesus didn't fit the profile of Judaism as to what the Messiah was to be like, the one getting rid of the Romans and also giving us a real good temporal life, restoring Israel to its former grandeur. No, he ended up on a cross. He ended up being buried. And even two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, having seen him die and hearing that he rose from the dead, they were still gloomy because they had no understanding of what was going on. And so it's very important that we read the Old Testament and point forward to the Jesus who's going to be the perfect fulfillment of saving us from our problems.
Getting back to the facts of the story here, a couple of Joseph's brothers don't quite want to go through with the idea of killing him, which had been the original sort of hateful conclusion, well, of them all. So you've got Reuben and you've got, Judah, both kind of stepping up. What do they do?
So the brothers see him and they conspire to kill him. Here comes this dreamer. So you know they still hate his dreams. And it's Reuben who says, let us not take his life, shed no blood. And the Bible even tells us why he told them to throw him into a pit so that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. So maybe now Reuben has a selfish reason in saving Joseph, and that is that the father would like him now as much as he liked Joseph. But then while they're sitting down to eat, a caravan of Ishmaelites, by the way, Gentiles, namely Jesus crucified by Gentiles, with their camels, and they were going down to Egypt, and it was Judah who said, what profit do we get if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And the brothers listened to him. Why? Because they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Now, when Reuben returned and saw what they had done, Joseph was missing. He tore his clothes, returned to his brothers and said, the boy is gone, and I, where shall I go? And so what they did, they took Joseph's robe and put the blood of a goat on it and to carry it back to their father, saying that a fierce animal has devoured him. And Jacob could not be comforted. So the thing I really get out of this is there is no sin that isn't going to be compounded. We don't believe in karma in the sense that God is a God of justice. He always gets even with you. There's a number of murderers that never got caught, etc. But by and large, a lot of times when we do sin and especially try to hide it, it just magnifies even to a greater response. So in light of Reuben's plans to save Joseph, they failed for a very simple reason, that God had a different purpose for Joseph, of which they were all unaware, but in the following weeks will soon recognize as the purpose of God.
Well, and this really does escalate, even with Reuben, who comes off a little bit virtuous here. You know, he has these second thoughts about killing him. He wants to just put him in the well so that he can come back and then later on get Joseph out and present him back to his father. But when he returns and finds that the well is empty, Joseph is gone, and he doesn't know exactly what happened in his absence. He seems to go right along with the other brothers to say, well, we'll just fake a death here, and we'll tell Dad that he must have died.
Yes. It's a beautiful story to show how everybody is looking out for themselves. There's only two motivations for deeds, either Christ interest or self interest. And for Joseph, it was Christ's interest, because he had heard the many prophecies beginning with Adam and Eve through Abraham, etc., about the Messiah to come. And he seems to have a faith that therefore let things go on, because God is still in control and he will be the one who will take care of me. That's a point we really want to get across to the Sunday school children, maybe asking them, do you have any examples where you think you've had a hard time? And then did you see how God took care of you? And maybe get that in their minds that Jesus is the center of their life.
Now, one more thing, Tom, and this may not be for a Sunday school teacher to put into this particular lesson. I understand sometimes you can kind of diffuse the attention of kids if you try to do too much and go to another passage at the end like I'm doing with you now. But for the edification of the Sunday school teacher, and certainly the edification of our listeners, this happened at Dothan. And it's not the only great biblical event that happened at that little town of Dothan. There's also an instance with Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings 6. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Right. That's where the axe head is recovered. And the king of Syria is warring against Israel. And he says that such and such a place will be my camp. The man of God, which is Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And guess what? You know, the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled when he heard this. And it says in verse 13, it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. And that's the same place that they're trying to find the prophet who had said this to the king of Israel.
So you got Elisha and his servant there at Dothan, and they look out and they see this big army. And if nothing else, the servant's got to be remembering, oh my gosh, this is exactly where Joseph basically got betrayed, and he was stuck for years then in prison and all that stuff. And it didn't look any better. In fact, it looked even worse with this big Syrian army out there. What does the Lord show to Elisha and to that servant?
Well, what he shows to them, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And so that's really a great historical event to keep in mind if the Sunday school teachers, and some of them may be teaching adults, so you could bring this in at that time.
Yeah. The Lord taking care of his people and carrying out his plans despite all odds.
Exactly. And if that doesn't happen 100 times in the New Testament, wow, people just don't understand the messiahship of Jesus.
Pastor Tom Baker is the host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and he's always on Issues Etc. every week to teach Sunday school lessons. Today we've been talking about Joseph and his brothers, the beginning of this long story of Joseph, which really takes up about a quarter of the book of Genesis, from Genesis 37. Tom, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon on Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Ken Sherb.
Hey, got my name right and everything. Okay, after the break, we're going to turn to Dr. Joseph Goodell from Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about forces arrayed against God's people. He's going to be talking about contemporary 20th and now 21st century persecution of Christians. That'll be our topic on the other side of this break. I'm Ken Sherb, as Tom Baker tells us, for Todd Wilkin on Issues Etc.
Let's face it, no matter how hard you try to squeeze everything in, there are never enough hours in the day. If this struggle sounds familiar, you won't want to miss the September issue of The Lutheran Witness on time and limitations. With contributions from Jonathan Fiske, Brian Katchelmeyer, and others, this issue of the magazine will help you gain a heart of wisdom as you learn to number your days. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.